policies and the actions of the military-industrial surveillance complex. These actions have severe consequences for the people, not only in the United States, but all over the world. To create a better, humane, and a compassionate world, we must first understand what is being done in our name, and we must always be willing to stand up, speak out, and speak truth to empire. Today we have Allison. We are on telephone with us. Hello, Allison.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for being my guest on Speaking Truth to Empire. Allison Weir is the executive director of If Americans Knew, a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing Americans with information on topics of Israeli-Palestinian conflict that are misreported or underreported in the American media. She is also on the board of directors of the Council for the National Interest. In early 2001, Allison left her position as editor of a weekly newspaper in California to travel independently as a freelance reporter throughout Gaza and the West Bank. Shocked and moved by what she learned there, upon her return, she founded If Americans Knew, a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing Americans with information on Israeli-Palestinian conflict and U.S. foreign policy regarding the Middle East that are misreported or underreported. Her website is www.ifamericansknew.org. Her first book, Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel, was published in February 2014 and has received high praises from both ends of the political spectrum. Her essays and articles have appeared in a number of books and magazines, among them The New Intifada, Censored, 2005 Encyclopedia of the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, San Francisco, Bayview Newspaper, Counterpunch, and The Link. She speaks all over the country. She has spoken at many universities, churches, Rotary clubs, libraries, and other civic and community venues. Allison, your website, ifamericansknew.org, is one of the best websites on the issues of Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Your mission, as you state on your website, is If Americans Knew, is to inform and educate the American public on issues of major significance. And on your website, that issue is Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and you are trying to report on the issues that are important to Americans. Tell our audience about your website. What would they learn by exploring on your website?
Well, as you say, our goal is to just get the facts out to the general American public. We're nonpartisan, non-ideological, sort of a journalistic website. We tell about the American connections to Israel-Palestine because many of those of us who don't happen to be Jewish or Arab or Muslim, in many cases just think the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a distant, confusing conflict that has nothing to do with us. But in reality, our tax money goes to Israel in massive quantities. Our politicians from both parties currently give Israel over $10 million per day of our tax money, and that's about to go up. So because of this, we are closely connected to this issue. Everything that Israel does with that money reflects on us, and with that money, Israel consistently violates international law, violates American laws, and commits really egregious human rights violations of all sorts. So we want Americans to know that we are connected to this conflict, that we give a huge amount of money to Israel, far more than we have given to any other country on earth. In fact, on average, we give Israelis per capita 7,000 times more than to other people around the world. And we want people to know how that money is used and what that means for Americans. So I guess that's sort of a capsule view of the website.
Since the advent of Hollywood in early 20th century, it has been the most important tool used to perpetuate white supremacy and justify militarism. Anti-Arab and anti-Muslim propaganda in Europe and the US has been going on for many decades. Media, Hollywood, and literature have all played their parts in promoting negative images of Arabs and Muslims. Now we identify that as Islamophobia, which escalated after 9/11. And now we have presidential candidate Donald Trump, who has taken it to a much higher level. Give us your take on Islamophobia.
Yes, I'd be glad to. As you say, it's certainly been present in Hollywood for many decades. There have been some excellent books documenting that, where the villain of choice is an Arab or a Muslim. They're almost never, you know, very rarely, if ever, shown sympathetically, but largely in villainous, stereotypical, inaccurate ways. So that's been going on for many decades. However, in reality, there has not been much hostility to Muslims. That actually came up more in recent decades, especially after 9/11. But it's been pushed consistently. And there have been a number of articles that have documented this. This Islamophobia that we see today has largely been pushed by some individuals and organizations and some very, very wealthy donors to those organizations and individuals who are pro-Israel. Pro-Israel partisans felt that they could divide and conquer, that they could make Americans fear and hate Muslims and therefore feel, oh, Israel's our ally against, quote, terrorists, and that this would benefit Israel. As I said, there are a number of articles that have discussed this and some books. One of the people that's been doing this since about the late 1980s, mainly about 1994, is a man named Steve Emerson. Steve Emerson is a Jewish Israel partisan. He's very pro-Israel. And he has been producing so-called documentaries and so-called articles. He calls himself a terrorism expert, that portray Muslims in a very negative and inaccurate light. Some journalists noticed what Emerson was doing. One of them in particular was a man named John Sugg, who when he first became aware of this was a journalist in Florida, I believe in St. Petersburg. Steve Emerson came to their newspaper, as he goes and has gone to other news media around the country, and gave them what he said were FBI documents about Muslims, showing that there were terrorist cells in the United States. Sugg and some other journalists looked more closely at these documents, found out that they had been fabricated by Emerson himself. So, you know, he's been exposed as a very sketchy, very unreliable individual, but he still periodically gets away with this. Back when there was the Oklahoma City bombing, that terrible bombing, he was on the national media telling people, oh, you know, this is all the earmarks of this Islamic fundamentalism. This is Muslim terrorism. Of course, it turned out to be completely false, and he disappeared from the scene for a while. But after 9/11, he came back out again and was very active. He could be seen as the so-called expert who would appear, you know, on various media, in various newspaper articles. I saw an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, I think around 2002 or something, about, quote, terror cells in Silicon Valley. You know, I had spent a lot of time there. I'm from California, and I had been at a number of events in that area. And, you know, this was an absurd contention. So I looked at this article in the San Francisco Chronicle. There, sort of buried down near the end of the article, was that the whole article was from information from Steve Emerson, you know, an unreliable source. And yet many people reading that article thought, oh, dear, there's Islamic terrorism right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Not too long ago, he made the claim, what was it, something that he said something like, I think he was talking about Birmingham, England, let me think. It was Birmingham or Manchester, I don't remember now which one. He claimed that the whole place was Muslim, that the whole city was Muslim, and that non-Muslims couldn't even go there, were afraid to even go there. Even the Prime Minister of England, Cameron, who's, you know, not really the a very pro-Muslim person, certainly responsibility for waging wars in the Middle East, but even Cameron called Emerson an idiot for such a ridiculous statement. So for a while, once again, he was discredited, you know, making a claim that was so beyond the pale of rationality made people question, oh, maybe he's not the expert he claims to be if he doesn't really even know the facts about England, much less the Middle East. So he's one of the people that has been, he made a documentary back around 1990 that was circulated widely. So he's one of the people that has inserted fraudulent information into the American consciousness that would cause some people who are gullible, and we can all be gullible if things are packaged, you know, well enough to fool us, to make people concerned that there were, you know, was Muslim fanaticism and terrorism in our own country and around the world. So he's been doing that for a long time. Then there was is another individual who's been often very central to creating that perception, that misperception. This man is really a man and his wife, Aubrey and Joyce Chernick. That's C-H-E-R-N-I-C-K. They are based in Los Angeles. Aubrey Chernick has a, quote, security consulting firm and called the National Center for Crisis and Continuity Coordination. He's a former trustee of an AIPAC-related institute. AIPAC, of course, is the Israel Lobby Institute in Washington, D.C. He's a multimillionaire with, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And he began inserting his money into groups that would push Islamophobia around the country. Some people have done a good job of tracking the money from Chernick, where it has gone and what it has funded. Some of what he's done has been through a foundation called the Fairbrook Foundation, which is a private entity he and his wife control. With that money, they've funded the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which has attacked some Muslim actions as supposedly dangerous things that should be opposed. A very right-wing pro-Israel group called CAMRA has been funded by Chernick. Chernick got together with others, with AIPAC, the American Jewish Committee. They put together something called the David Project, which is a campus advocacy group that would, again, promote Israel and also promote anything that would put Israel in a good light and make Americans think, oh, we're in danger by the same people that are dangerous to Israel, therefore we should support Israel no matter what it does, and Muslims and Palestinians are terrorists and they're our enemy. That kind of mythology is very much pushed by some of these projects.
You're listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF Free Speech Radio for Central California. We are speaking with Allison Weir, the executive directors of If Americans Knew. Let's talk about our current presidential primaries. I know you have written quite a bit about that, the politician of both parties, and you said that earlier also, are willing to give Israel as much money as they want, basically, and that's what it amounts to, about over $10 million a day. I want your take on the leading presidential candidates currently, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and Ted Cruz, regarding Israeli-Palestinian issue. You can do one by one.
Sure. They're all, by their own statements, pro-Israel. Some are more more publicly pro-Israel than others, but they're all pro-Israel. The one who is the least pro-Israel, interestingly enough, is Bernie Sanders. Now, Sanders himself lived on an Israeli kibbutz for about 6 months, many years ago. I think he was in his 20s. And so certainly he saw firsthand the situation in Israel, in which Palestinians are third-class citizens. The Palestinian population was, in the words of an Israeli historian, were ethnically cleansed from much of the land. The people that are remaining in Israel itself, that are Christian or Muslim, are treated very poorly. Most of them were driven out of their own homes and moved elsewhere, or certainly many of them, not all of them, especially in some parts of Israel. So, he clearly must have seen all of that firsthand. But you would think that one would then speak out more against that oppression, because Sanders is known for being a socialist, progressive, left-wing, upholding the rights of indigenous peoples. But his statements about Israel have been surprisingly mild for someone with that profile. He has, in some cases, even voted for some of these wars that have been waged in the Middle East. So he's not as good as most people think that he would be. But compared to the other people you just named, he certainly, he certainly leagues beyond where they are. Now, Hillary Clinton, in some ways, might be the worst. She is, she has been responsible for major, massive bloodshed in the Middle East, all the way to North Africa, Libya. She's promoted various wars. She's had no problems with drone strikes and with massive numbers of civilians being killed. She gets a huge amount of funding from Israel partisans. The most famous one is Haim Saban, who is an Israeli who lives from Hollywood, who's connected to the film industry. Haim Saban is very public about his number one issue is Israel. That's what he cares about. That's what his money is for. And he has given massive amounts to Hillary Clinton. Others also. So Clinton is very much in the pocket of the Israel lobby. Ted Cruz is perhaps less in the pocket of the Israel lobby. I don't remember if he gets... The Republicans are largely, in many cases, funded by people like Sheldon Adelson, who, again, is very pro-Israel. He's an American citizen who has said publicly he regrets that he served in the U.S. military. He wishes instead he had served in the Israeli military. He is another one whose number one issue is Israel, and he funds Republicans. Donald Trump is interesting because despite his really shocking statements about Muslims, about torture, about many subjects, he has made some somewhat rational statements, and sometimes he's gotten attacked for those statements even more. For example, he has said that he would be neutral regarding Israel-Palestine, which means that the whole Israel lobby, which is very pervasive, attacked him for taking a stand that is really the rational stand and that American leaders should take. He has backed off of that a little bit more recently. He keeps swearing he's also devoted to Israel. He emphasizes that his daughter, I believe, by conversion is Jewish, and he is going to be speaking at the American-Israel Public Affairs Council Committee, the AIPAC, which is their big, huge lobbying convention coming up next week in Washington, D.C., where AIPAC basically swaggers and shows, very blatantly demonstrates its wealth and power in Washington, D.C. Presidential candidates go there, Congress people go there. AIPAC has massive amounts of money, so it brings student leaders from all over the country, sometimes a thousand student leaders from small colleges and big colleges are brought to AIPAC to be propagandized in a pro-Israel way and to also make clear to them that if they are ambitious politically, then being pro-Israel will be very good for them. That's the way to get campaign donations. So Trump will be speaking there. Sanders, it's unknown yet whether Sanders will speak to AIPAC or not, whether he will accept that invitation. There has been a movement among Sanders supporters. Many of them have a petition specifically telling Sanders not to go to AIPAC. So at this point, I'm sure with Sanders, it's really he's trying to weigh whether he will go and try to neutralize the opposition to him by the Israel lobby, or whether he will do the right thing, and I suspect the thing he would prefer to do, and not go. At this point, I don't think anybody knows yet, at least I haven't seen yet, whether he has made the decision on that or not.
Well, let's talk about your billboard campaign. You and your organization have been putting up billboards in many cities in different states, pointing out the amount of U.S. aid to Israel, which we talked earlier about. How's that campaign going? Tell us more about that.
Yes, I'm very excited about this campaign. As I said earlier, the main thing that I want to do is just get this out to the American public. All Americans should be aware of this, and we should be discussing it and deciding whether we approve of how our money is being used. So we're putting up billboards around the country wherever we can raise the money to be able to do that. The billboards often say something. There are various messages, but usually it says something like, we give $10 million per day to Israel. That money could send our children to college. I think it's very valuable. Most people have no idea that we give that amount of money to Israel. It's really very rarely, almost never reported in news coverage. And it makes it a subject of discussion. When we put it up, for example, in Walnut Creek recently, there was some front page news coverage about the billboard. There were some op-eds, letters to the editor, more discussion about that. The same thing happened. We put up one in Orlando, Florida. There also, we got news coverage of the billboard so that message that we give Israel $10 million per day was also in the print publication, in print newspapers in Florida, informing people about that, raising the question, is that how we want our money to be used, given how much need there is here? You know, do we want to send this huge amount of money to this tiny little country? We're doing it all over. We have some billboards now in Connecticut, I believe in Texas, in Massachusetts. So this just requires, donations for us to be able to do that and to try to make this a public discussion where all Americans start to be aware that we're connected to Israel-Palestine and we need to be informed about what this is all about. And we need to be the ones deciding whether we like the current U.S. governmental stance regarding Israel. Because right now they're just being driven by a special interest lobby. A special interest lobby is driving our policies. That's very dangerous. We need to have the citizens of our country speak up, and we need to start determining our policies, because the current policies are causing huge violence and tragedy in the Middle East and putting us in great danger, because we're responsible for what's going on there through this tax money. And the billboards are one way to get sort of break through the media cover-up on this issue and get it straight out to the people.
What kind of reaction do you get from pro-Israel groups and people?
Oh, pro-Israel groups are extremely angry, don't like this at all. They use various tactics. The first one is to try to prevent speeches such as mine from even occurring. They pressure billboard companies not to put up billboards like that. So in some places, we've had difficulty getting billboards up because the billboard company is so concerned that they'll be attacked so much by the Israel lobby that they're afraid to take that financial risk and put a billboard up. But fortunately, we just about always can find a place, and we're almost always able to put up billboards in the in different geographic locations. They then, of course, usually their first thing to do is call it anti-Semitic. That's their term to use anytime somebody says anything that they don't like. They can't address the facts because the facts are correct, so they just have to use some sort of name-calling. They also then follow up our billboards. They put up their own billboard. They have much more money than we do. There's a group called Stand With Us, and the Us is Israel. It's not the United States. Has a very large budget. So wherever there's a billboard that tells anything that they don't like, they then put up their own billboard, claiming that Israel somehow gives thousands of Americans jobs. It's an absurd message. You know, the effective way to give more American jobs is not by sending our money to a foreign country. There are better ways to use our money to give Americans jobs. So their messages are not very logical, but, you know, that's what they try to push. They try to push, oh, Americans and Israelis have shared values. Even though Israel has no constitution, rather than having any kind of separation between church and state, it has a system that is based on a religion and one religion and ethnicity above all others. So it's really a very different system than our own, and it's not at all a shared value that we have. But they tend to put those up and try to confuse people with that message. But we don't mind that. You know, certainly they have the right to do that. But that just keeps the controversy going, because then the letters to the editor in the newspaper continue. And that's always a plus for us, because that gives us a chance to give more factual information about this subject.
Alison, we are running out of time. I thank you very much for being my guest on the show. I know you are still doing your book tour for your book, Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. And the website is ifamericansknew.org. Thank you. Until next time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF Free Speech Radio for Central California. We were speaking with Alison Weir, the executive director of If Americans Knew. Goodbye. I'll be back third Wednesday of next month.